Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Cole Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
And this is Rick Swan.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
I'm Rocco Cinco Romero.
David Starr.
Support WrestleTalk.
You are watching WrestleTalk.
Congratulations, you got here.
Support WrestleTalk and please subscribe now.
Support the Ravens. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How was your weekend of playing Star Wars?
Oh my God. Oh baby. It's like I'm sure you have it, when you go home and talk to your lady partner and she's like, what did you do today? Have you got any funny stories from people in the office? All my anecdotes and stories since Saturday evening when I installed it and played it for 6 hours straight. I mean, I didn't go to the toilet. I mean, I...
That's concerning.
I needed to go, but I thought, I'll go after this bit. I'll go after this bit. And after a while, the need just went away. I ate my dinner on my lap in loading screens.
Oh, Davis.
I have fallen hard for this game.
Oh, Davis.
I heated up my dinner.
Fluffy pig.
I heated up my dinner and I thought, I'll just get to this bit and I'll pause it. And I got to the bit and I paused it and I ate. I was like, oh, that's a bit hot. So I started So I started navigating around the menu, looking at some archive, you know, like how things are. You touch something, it gives you a larger part of the story that doesn't really relate to anything. But it's interesting. It's very well written. So I would listen to those bits and like a podcast as I was eating. And that slowly morphed into me unpausing the game and just playing the game and then eating a cold dinner in the loading screen. Yeah. Anyway, whenever my lady partner asks me stuff, I lead with anecdotes from the game. I'm like, that's something BB1 would do. Oh, you've got to see my BB1. Because you get a robot that accompanies you around in the game, kind of like in Fallout 3 where he has a dog. And it just it climbs up there and sits on your shoulder.
Adorable.
As someone who used to have pet rats, I know that sounds gross, but they are quite adorable when they're not suffering from tumors or trying to hump each other, even though they're sisters.
Yeah.
That's what they used to do to me. When in the good old days, my pet rat would climb up my arm and sit on my shoulder as I wrote essays at university.
Well, that's quite...
It was really sweet.
Yeah.
Just sit there.
I mean, they're gross because they're rats, but...
Sure. But yeah, they're like large mice.
That carry, you know, diseases.
Not,
and the likes.
Not domesticated ones. They can, but the idea is you don't let them run around outside.
I would argue there's only ever been one good rat in this world, and he taught some Ninja Turtles how to be ninjas.
Anyway, I've got a... I feel like BB1 gets me.
In ways that your lady partner just never will.
And fulfills me in a way... that my loving relationship with my girlfriend of 6 years can't.
Mm. Well, you know what?
I feel immediately awful saying that.
6 years, 6 hours. You know, there's a lot of comparisons to be made here.
It's an excellent game. If it's Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, by the way, 8 out of 10, I think IGN literally gave it. Mm-hmm. It baffles my mind. For me, I don't play that many games. I only play the big ones or things that I used, the latest version of stuff I used to play as a kid. And this is, for me, this year's Spider-Man. As soon as I picked up Spider-Man last year, I devoured it. Mm. It's like reading Dan Brown. Can't put it down. But more fulfilling.
Mm, yes.
More rewarding.
Well written.
And genuinely, the Spider-Man voice acting, the script, the story, the gameplay, that's a hell of a game.
I'm in a quandary at the moment because I've got this coming Friday off because of War Games, because me and Laurie are doing the War Games live stream and then the videos that are going to happen after that, so the reviews and that. So I've got this coming Friday off work.
Interesting.
And, oh crikey, the studio just started to fall apart. And I'm now in a position where, you know, I'm going to be at home on my own all day long. So, and we have got the copy of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order because Simon got it Simon's bought it for work purposes, but he's now on holiday for a week and has effectively lent it to me. So I could play that all day Friday, but I still haven't finished Spider-Man, and I still haven't finished Resident Evil 2. So should I be more inclined to play those games and actually finish them as opposed to just starting something else that I'm just not going to finish?
I guess it depends what you think is going to unfold. If you really think this looks like something I can play and see through to completion within 2 months, get it? But if it's going to be, I don't bring it up, but it does hurt me to see the way you unfinished games. I get anxious on your behalf.
I can't
read another book until I've finished.
I've never been a
book.
Finisher, though. Oh, like, yeah. I've never been the closer.
That's what they tell me.
Even when I was a kid, I just played games because I enjoyed playing them, never with the intent of actually finishing them. If I finished a game, bonus. But really, I just enjoyed playing the games.
Just look at Castlevania.
Look at Castlevania, a classic example. I didn't finish the first Sonic the Hedgehog until I was like 25.
Okay, so
I got that game in 1991.
So that's not something that really bothers you.
No.
Even when it's a story-based thing, you know, this is a very immersive character world.
So Sonic the Hedgehog. So's Castlevania.
Come on, man.
They are just as immersive and story-driven as Spider-Man.
They
are.
I know you can make an argument, and I'm sure you could write an essay, and I might be thinking at the end of it, he raises some good points. But then if you listen to any gifted orator enough, you'll come away thinking, yeah, maybe there are lizard people out there.
No. You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll just play it for a few hours because I've got it anyway. So
I mean, it's an expensive few hours. If it's 60 quid.
But I don't have to buy it. I've already got Simon's copy.
Good point.
So I can just play Simon's copy of it. Simon's Quest, if you will, Castlevania 2.
Oh, he'll want you to start a new save file.
But that's fine because it's on my machine.
I don't know how these things work.
Oh, now you've got me questioning how it works. Is it saved to the disc? Is it a rewritable CD-ROM?
Yeah, I think you're right. It is saved to maybe Simon, because he did warn me, start a new save file, but maybe he thought I was going to play it in the office PlayStation.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, because I suppose I might just delete the one that's here anyway. It's a bit of a rib.
He's already customized the poncho.
No, it's one of those things. Like, I don't want to get too involved in something. Like, I don't want to get to the point where, like,
that's what this game is.
I just want to play the game. I just want to, like, cut up some stormtroopers with a lightsaber. I don't want to spend hours customizing a lightsaber hilt or designing what flowers go on your robe and that, or what the shade of your beard. I just want to cut up some stormtroopers.
From what I can tell right now, it's only cosmetic. The poncho, the lightsaber, the ship.
But it's too much. I'm not arsed. Mm. It doesn't affect the game in any way. So don't make me spend a long time doing it.
Well, you don't have to.
That's fine. It's there. That's fine. That's what I was asking.
Okay, that's good.
What I was asking. Because I don't want to do that.
Yeah. It's for a moment there, I thought you were offended by the fact it was an option. Well, don't give me the option. Don't give me this free stuff.
No. If it's something that you can just do without, cool. That's fine. Because I'm also of the school of thought, and this may get me some heat from the gaming community, I don't like earning new skills in games.
Ooh. Well, that is, that's a part of this.
Like with
there is a knowledge tree.
Like with Spider-Man, you know, you like have to learn new skills in that as well. I'm just pressing the buttons and just being like, look, it's forcing me to spend these points. I'm just going to spend these points. I'm never using any of the things I've actually bought in here. I'm just going to keep using the same fighting style. But I don't need the new combos because I've already got combos that work. So
yeah, I've got cooler combos, like the one where you jump up and you can go. And you spur everyone with your web staff.
So I've got that one now, because you get that quite early on. Mm. Don't need any more. I don't need a new one, because I've already got one that's really good. So why do I need more of these skills that I'm never going to use? Mm.
Yeah. Well, I like it.
Go subscribe to our video game channel, Screenstalker, everyone. But we're also going to dive into this podcast now, and we have got some Rusev Hayes to get into in the outro portion of this podcast. So we're going to be talking about this NXT quote-unquote invasion and just how it's played out over the last few weeks. Here is the show.
But, you know, this is the Raw go home angle. There's going to be no more Raws for us to address this on. I feel like after an incredibly hot start, something that was pushed on them because of the Saudi Arabia travel issues, but the idea that it was Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT was announced on Crown Jewel.
Yes.
So that's been in the works for a while. So, like, okay. You've probably got a good idea to do this. This is something that everyone always asked us to fantasy book. NXT invading the main roster. But true to NXT call-up form, it's just been a bit naff, hasn't it?
The problem started as soon as it became about Triple H. For me, because at the end of this Raw, I wasn't thinking NXT's invaded the main roster. I thought Triple H has invaded the main roster.
Yes.
Because he's the one that's cutting all the promos. He's the one that is making all the challenges. He appears to be the one that's picking the teams for NXT, even though NXT hasn't picked a team yet. He's the one who's saying, now you come to our house and you do this and the other. The NXT guys and girls haven't really been given the mic time to be able to do that. Like, there were no NXT promos on this show. Mm. Undisputed Era just feel like any old random faction now. Even like, which is frustrating because you had that amazing start to it with Cole and Bryan, where in one night you made Adam Cole feel like the biggest deal in WWE. And then you cut, 4 weeks later, he's just in some segments, barely name checked. And he hasn't got a match for Survivor Series currently. He's likely just going to be part of the 5-on-5-on-5 match. Which is being picked by Triple H. And according to WrestleVotes, the plan that WWE want to do is to put Triple H on Team NXT, which even more makes it about him.
And weirdly, for once, Triple H doesn't want that.
Because Triple H gets that you don't want him to be the focal point. You want the NXT talents to be the focal point.
But do you remember 2 years ago when Triple H was in the match and he won the match for both Raw and SmackDown?
Yeah, I know.
And he turned on Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
It is it's a real shame. Let's go through what happened on this show. So this isn't a true go-home show. You've got NXT, which was set up to be very big. We'll get onto that shortly. And SmackDown, which I guess will have all the big, big angles, because that's the A show now and is the closest to Survivor Series dates.
They said on this show, it's kicking off Survivor Series weekend. SmackDown is now the new start to the pay-per-view weekend when it's a big time, because you've got SmackDown on Friday, NXT on the Saturday, Survivor Series on the Sunday.
And then presumably Raw on the Monday as well. Whereas before, SmackDown used to be at the end of that cycle.
Yeah.
So this started with, midway through the show, Seth Rollins versus Andrade.
Yes.
Big. That's exciting. And it was like, I think this is the way to make Seth cool again. you give him really good matches that go time. And this was a dead crowd, not a very good crowd at all. To give them credit, they weren't really given much to get excited by. But
apart from the in-ring action.
But they did get into that. Like, I thought they would slowly work, and it was the brawl stuff that didn't really have any substance that they were, they sat on their hands for.
That and Buddy Murphy.
Yes, that was unfortunate. But maybe they just didn't hear the knock.
Who was that?
Seth Rollins was getting everyone to chant Burn It Down.
Yeah.
They were into this match. It was a great structured match.
Because he started out with a mixed response. You can hear those boos that are creeping in for his entrance because people are not behind Seth at the moment. But because he's so good in ring, he's not the best wrestler in the world, but he is so good at professional wrestling that he can get the crowd on his side. And I don't want to say it's the best that Andrade's looked on the main roster because he's been there now for, you know, nearly 2 years and is still yet to do anything of substance. And so I'm hesitant to say, like, oh, this feels like the start of something for Andrade. But it did feel like this was leveling up Andrade.
So the reason this was so well structured, first off, it was a good opening. And then Zelina Vega goes to do her usual hop off the apron, hit the Hurricane Rana on Seth. But Seth just caught her.
Nope.
And then just not powerbombed her.
No, he just went, he didn't do Kevin Nash. He just went, no thanks.
Should have Kevin Owens'd her. No more of this interference. But then she was ejected from ringside. And then all of a sudden, because that's quite a rare thing to happen in Andrade matches, I feel like everyone was like, hey,
yeah,
all right.
I certainly was.
Yeah, same. And then Seth and Andrade had really, really good sequence of moves and near falls. The near falls in particular, actually.
Really, really good.
Then Seth's out, he's tuning up the band, Burn It Down, and who should run in?
Yeah. But the Lucha House Party from SmackDown ran in to cause the DQ.
Now, I know this isn't the NXT invasion, but it's all tied in. So, you know, we'll get to the other NXT invasion spots later. I was initially very excited about this. I thought, Lucha House Party? I mean, they're jabrones. They're portrayed as jabrones, even though, you know, two of those wrestlers there are some of the best high flyers in the world in Lince Dorado and Gran Metalik. And Kalisto's no slouch. They started attacking Seth. I'm like, hey up, we're getting an Andrade faction with them.
I thought that as well, until I saw them wearing the SmackDown blue t-shirts, and I was like, oh no, they're on a different brand. We can't really do that now.
Or just like, here's a SmackDown t-shirt and Andrade puts it on.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right. That would have been fine. What I'm saying is when I was watching this, I was like, as soon as I saw the t-shirts, I was like, ah. Because initially when they started doing the attack, I thought, same as you, we're getting the Latino World Order that, like, various different people have talked about in interviews and stuff as a faction they would like to start. And then I saw the t-shirt, I was like, oh, no, it's just they're there to cause the DQ because it's Survivor Series.
Mm. Yeah, so but they got in the ring and they're sort of surrounding Andrade, and it was sort of perfectly set up to be the, looks like we're going to attack him, but actually we're all together. But no, they just attacked him
as well. It didn't set up SmackDown as a big threat for this, despite the fact it's supposed to be the A show, because you had no Roman, you had no Chad Gable, Shorty G, you had no Mustafa Ali, no Baron Corbin. Like, that's four of your lads on Team SmackDown. Instead, it was Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode, Lucha House Party, Heavy Machinery. I mean, unfortunately, Cesaro. It's all essentially the SmackDown undercard were the ones that were doing the attacking.
And that's, you know, we love Cesaro, we love Heavy Machinery, but unfortunately, they have been portrayed as lower mid or undercarders.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just like just from a tactical advantage here, the Lucha House Party are interfering in a Team Raw match. This match, by the way, I don't think we pointed this out, was for Seth Rollins' captaincy of Team Raw. If you really want to screw with that team, just attack Andrade first. He now wins. He's now got the captaincy. Oh, what a bit of intrigue. A story thing we can play with. But no. It was. I brought this up in my 4-minute review, which has gone up as part of the larger 10-minute video. So go and watch that after this. But it's spots and not substance.
Yeah, which I think there was a lot of on this show, because this was a show of non-finishes, and this was a good example of a non-finish. And it was there was a weird thing in this where when I was watching this show, and I'm trying not to feel like I'm too negative on the show because I actually did enjoy it for the
in-ring
part.
Wrestling in-ring was fantastic.
Particularly in this match. But at the end of this match, you've got Andrade teaming up with Seth Rollins to clear house the Lucha House Party, and you've got the commentators going like, Andrade is also Team Red. He's behind Seth Rollins. He believes in Seth Rollins as the leader, because the commentary are really trying hard to make you think that Seth Rollins is cool. And then you got Seth and Andrade going like, that was a really good match. And Seth says, yeah, we'll do this again down the line. And I'm thinking, why don't you just do it now?
Yeah, finish the match.
Finish the match. You've cleared the house of the invading force. So just restart the match now. You could have done.
Yeah.
And then later on in the show, when Triple H is having a chat with Kevin Owens, and he keeps saying, no one on Team Raw cares about you. And I'm like, well, Seth isn't coming out, so yeah, I think Triple H is right.
Yeah.
And then at the end, everyone's brawling. Everyone's getting beaten up on Team Raw. It takes Seth Rollins 20 minutes to eventually come out with the rest of the Raw locker room. And I kept thinking, where's Seth? Where is Seth on this show?
If we can judge anything by the Aleister Black missing Buddy Murphy knocking on his door, those locker rooms are incredibly soundproof. Maybe. So maybe he just didn't hear them. But yeah, if you're trying to get Seth over as a babyface, which they very much are, that's definitely the strategy here. They gave him so many cheap local sports team pops.
Yeah.
I'm in Boston.
This is a football team that I really like.
For the
Boston
Crabs.
Yes, the Boston Crabs.
Because they're famed for their crab defense.
That's the one, yeah. Got the ball in their hands and that.
They, like, he was doing all the cheap pop stuff. And then to have him go out there and there be a non-finish and him not take the noble step, if he's like, I'll fight all comers, to not say, actually, this was for something, let's finish the match, see who's the better man, and not to just walk away. Yeah, it's a big missed opportunity. So it's bad. WWE are not good at booking babyfaces. They have never been, like, true, morally upstanding babyfaces, but it's become very, very problematic in the last 5 years.
Can I give a shout out to some of the commentary in this match, though? Because we had Samoa Joe was on commentary throughout the night.
Very good.
Very, very good. He even made a rah-rah joke during this match, which made me chuckle. But also, shout out to King for one of the dumber calls of the evening, when, you know, King's not up to date on what the storylines and what the matches are. Vic Joseph is saying, like, how is Team NXT, which is likely going to have those people that are in the War Games match, how are they going to be able to face off against Raw and SmackDown when, you know, they're coming off a night of being in War Games? And King says, clearly not listening, ah, well, NXT's got the advantage. That's going to help them. Because in his mind, his answer was, Raw and SmackDown don't know who's on the team yet. He heard that bit and was like, that gives NXT the advantage. What, being in War Games the night before?
One of the most punishing stipulations in that promotion. So that was the SmackDown invasion-y bit of Lucha House Party. And then later on, we got Kevin Owens versus Drew McIntyre. Again, a match that doesn't really make sense because they're both on Team Raw. Really, if you're going to go into a 5-on-5-on-5 match this Sunday, I think you want your team to be working on their tactics together, not, well, let's iron out these issues that aren't really there anyway.
Do these two have issues?
Drew McIntyre was Shane McMahon's second in the Kevin Owens feud, but they've dropped all that. Look, there was no real reason for this to be here. But I don't care.
This match
because
was so good.
This was a pay-per-view caliber match.
This was absolutely awesome.
They did everything. Death Valley Driver's on the apron. It was just like a wild brawl. The Kevin Owens frog splash. Claymore. Not a true kick out because very few people kick out of the Claymore. It's such a protected move. But the rope.
Yeah.
Got to the rope.
The stunner with the rope move as well. Or with the grabbing of the rope. This was just back and forth all throughout. And I was popping for these near falls so, so hard. This was absolutely fantastic. Drew even busted out the Future Shock DDT, which we haven't seen for a while. Like, that was, it felt like Drew had to go back to his well, like into his bag of tricks in order to pick up a victory here because Kevin Owens kept kicking out of everything. I'd loved it. It got various different This Is Awesome chants.
Yes, yeah. And really, really properly as well. This was, honestly, if you're going to watch one thing from Raw, make it this match and just do a Phoebe and don't watch the end. Because, well, there was none.
And that really frustrated me because they're having this match. It's really kicking into its final sequence now. The crowd are absolutely rabid for it as well. All of a sudden, Triple H comes out. You cut to an ad break. You come back, and it's just Triple H and Kevin Owens standing in the ring with some NXT lads on the outside. Drew's nowhere to be seen. No ruling of the match. The match effectively just stopped. Where did Drew go?
Well, if you look at the gallery on WWE.com, he just walks off.
Why?
Like, I don't know, like a here you go Triple H thing. It was just... It's really weird. Yeah, it was the Forgotten Sons, Dominik Dijakovic, and what's Punishment Martinez?
Damian Priest.
I
had a bit of a concern that was Team NXT for Survivor Series. I was like, oh dear, lads, how have you managed this?
But they're just standing there like Triple H's henchmen. No real character
they're
to
not
them,
stars.
Unfortunately.
They're just henchmen.
And it's just Triple H does the thing about Kevin Owens. You know, no one has... You're too good for the main roster on Raw and SmackDown. They don't know what to do with you. You don't fit the mold. And I'm like, he was the Universal Champion.
That you handpicked as well to be Universal Champion when you screwed Seth.
When Triple H came down, I thought, ooh, there's a lot of context to sink your teeth into here. Because, yeah, of that whole storyline. I remember, what was it, Alpha Squad or...
No, Ultra Unit.
Ultra Unit.
Him and Joe.
Him and Joe. Oh, one of the best factions that never actually happened. And I was really looking forward to that because, you know, both men are excellent promos. But Triple H just rattles off a bunch of stuff that sounds good but doesn't fit in with anything they've ever done, really.
But I did like how they took what felt like real backstage stuff in that this company doesn't know what to do with you. You didn't want to go to the main roster. You were quite happy in NXT, but they took you away from NXT and then gave you nothing to do. But then actually sort of flipped that into being into a kayfabe world by saying Kurt Angle fired you. Shane McMahon fired you. No one's wanted you on the main roster. So I thought that was actually quite a nice flip. I quite liked the way that structured.
I didn't like it because he won the Universal title. They didn't know what to do with you. No, you were the top champion for like 8 months there.
It's very true.
I didn't like any of that stuff. I thought it was too insider. I thought it's going to turn off a large part of the audience who don't follow all that backstage stuff.
But that's why I thought it was nice that they tied it into the kayfabe world of Kurt Angle fired you, Shane McMahon fired you. That's why I thought it was quite a nice little turnaround.
Well, anyway, it doesn't matter really because... This was never meant to be anything. That there was never like Kevin Owens didn't wrestle with his conscience. He wasn't given the microphone to say anything back. The Undisputed Era, sans Adam Cole, just came in and started beating him up.
Yeah. I thought Adam Cole was there.
Oh, was he? I thought it was only three.
Okay, but then again, that's a real sort of damning indictment of how this show presented the Undisputed Era if we're sat going like, I didn't even know if Adam Cole was with them.
And I read Cage Side Seats' review of the show, and they said, well, maybe they're telling a story where Undisputed Era are like a rogue element and Triple H can't control them. And that, like, they're trying to overexpand. And I was like, I did not get any of that. And if they are doing that, then no, that's a bad idea because that isn't the story.
No. This felt like... And it was Triple H... cut this promo on Kevin Owens, and then it almost felt like he was doing it to lull Owens into a false sense of security so his lads could get in the ring and beat up Kevin Owens and then beat up any of the other Raw guys. Because it's not like Triple H was going like, no, don't attack him. I'm trying to have a conversation with him here. And it was like, wasn't this the same thing with Seth? Where like Triple H said, you should join Team NXT, and then had Team NXT beat him up. Because Seth did the promo the following week where it was like, Triple H stabbed me in the back straight away. Triple H is a very bad like manipulator of here. If he's being like, I'm manipulating you, psych, I'm already done.
I never said you were manipulating me. And then like the Raw guys run down the OC, chase off the Undisputed
Team Raw's
Era.
A brotherhood.
You know, and
I hate this brand.
And anything with OC
arc.
And Undisputed Era, like that gets me going. That stirs my loins. I want it to be about that. I don't want it to be about Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. But the more we're talking about it, the more I'm feeling that the men's NXT roster, because I must say, the women's stuff, I think, has been very, very good. I actually have no problems with the women's stuff.
Shayna Baszler's been booked brilliantly.
And Rhea Ripley when she's turned up.
Made her an absolute star on SmackDown. She maximized her minutes.
I think the women's stuff has been booked very, very well. The men's stuff is severely lacking. And it just feels like Triple H is the Stephanie McMahon of, like, if the NXT men's division is what the NXT women's division was in 2015-16 with Stephanie. It's like, here are my toys. But the really sad
on the main
part,
roster, not actually in NXT, but when
they're portrayed on the main roster, yeah. It's like,
I'm
this
putting
is
you
Team
into
Triple
teams.
H. Totally. And it's more sad because I don't think anyone wants that. I don't think Triple H is out there going, this is exactly what I foresaw. Because it's not fitting in his remit of what he does in developmental.
I would say that on the women's side of things, that triple threat has been done very well.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like the five on five.
You're right, sorry. Yeah.
Because I don't think they've announced who's on the women's team yet. You can likely assume it's the women that were there on SmackDown. But at the same time, that raised up some questions as to, like, why was Rhea Ripley and Mia Yim and backing up Shayna Baszler when they're facing them in War Games, in a couple of weeks or this coming Saturday. And then you look at, like, the Raw team, which wasn't announced on this show, but has been picked. They just sort of, like, they just, for some reason, just wouldn't tell us. And I had to go to WWE.com to find out who was in the team. Do you know who the team is?
I do. It's Ricochet, Kevin
Owens.
No,
the women's team.
Oh. Charlotte, Becky.
No. Becky's in the triple threat.
I don't know.
It's Charlotte's the team
captain.
Oh,
Nikki Cross.
No,
she's on SmackDown.
She's on SmackDown.
I'm just going to... Eventually, I'll get it.
It's Charlotte as captain.
Dana Brooke.
No, she's on SmackDown. With Natalia, the Kabuki Warriors, and Sarah Logan.
What? That's good.
That's what I mean, said. I said that on Twitter this morning. Sarah Logan's getting pay-per-view time. Where was she on this show?
I mean, she's the first out. She's the first person getting eliminated, unfortunately. So that kind of ties quite nicely into the last angle, the go-home angle for Raw, at least, which is how, this has big implications for how NXT is going to be on Wednesday and War Games, really. Where it was Randy Orton and Ricochet versus the Viking Raiders. This was originally meant to be the Viking Raiders versus Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder for the tag team titles. Ryder and Hawkins won that right at a German house show.
Yeah.
I actually thought they were going to make that a thing. But no, it was just a way to bait and switch people.
As I said, I'm convinced it's a rib. I'm convinced it's a rib on AEW and your wins and losses matter. And it's just a way for them to set up AOP versus Hawkins and Ryder for next week's Raw so that AOP can get a quick squash win.
Yeah, AOP took out Ryder and Hawkins, which means Randy Orton gets to be there and he chooses Ricochet. This was apparently meant to, like, kind of set up like, you'll see my ingenious reveal here. And it's the guy you're in a storyline with?
Yeah.
Who could have foresawn?
King at one point said, these would be the most unlikely tag team champions in history, like as partners. I'm like, lads, you do this like every other year. You can't just say things like that.
Braun Strowman won the belt with a 9-year-old boy.
Case in point.
So Randy's trying to do this thing apparently where he's missed a Survivor Series. Big deal, I guess. And I do
tell that to his match he had against DX and Punk and the Hardy Boys, where they lost 5-0.
I do like the Autumn Ricochet stuff.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying that. Actually,
I like the way that they're using the Survivor Series concept as the first part in their longer feud.
Yeah.
Like, usually Survivor Series means, hey, everyone, you can't actually have any storyline progression for a pay-per-view cycle.
It's about brand loyalty now.
But what Randy and Ricochet have managed to do is actually have a storyline that makes sense with where we are in the WWE calendar year. So I like that a lot. But this was nothing, really. It was just an excuse to have SmackDown stars start brawling backstage. Then Randy has it won in the ring. And then loads of big-name SmackDown stars like the Lucha House Party, they're still here. Dolph Ziggler, Bobby Roode, and Heavy Machinery and Cesaro run down to SmackDown's AC/DC theme.
In their blue t-shirts.
It was just like the least intimidating invasion angle ever. And they run and they all start brawling. NXT come out, they start brawling. Then loads of NXT people come out. And they all surround the Raiders, Orton and Ricochet. Randy hits a bunch of RKOs, but the numbers overwhelm them. And then the Raw stars come down. And then after all of that, here's the Raw team captain, Seth Rollins,
eventually, finally comes out, rah-rahing his way to the ring.
Leading from the back, like all great generals.
He's running Operation Human Shield.
Yeah, yeah. And, they're all having a brawl, and the crowd are deathly silent.
It is shot so badly.
Oh my God, and Kevin Dunn's photography here is just, you know, crash zoom, fast cuts, completely nauseating. It just, nothing was good about this. And this is the thing that screw us for thinking it would be good, right? Because every NXT call-up has disappointed us quite heavily, I would argue. I can't think of a single one that worked for more than a week, mm-hmm. or at least a month. I guess the Street Profits. You know what? The Street Profits have been handled. I wouldn't change a thing about it.
Nope, that's good.
But this is the NXT invasion. Why isn't it a bigger deal? Why does it just feel like a third thing that's been fudged in here?
Because I don't think they ever really cared.
Yeah.
They have done this because they want NXT to feel like a big deal now that it's on Raw and now it's on USA Network. So they're almost using Survivor Series as a way to get people to watch NXT. And, you know, I mean, let's call a spade, let's be honest about this. This is only really happening because of AEW. I feel like this is, because if it wasn't for AEW, NXT would still be on the network.
Yeah.
Which means we wouldn't be doing this because they wouldn't have been able to tape all of the Raw Invasion stuff or the SmackDown Invasion stuff during the NXT pre-taped stuff. So the only reason we're getting this is because of AEW. They're only doing this so they can siphon more viewers away from AEW. And so in that sense, I don't think they ever really cared about this as a way to put over NXT as a brand. It was just a way to get some more main roster guys and girls onto NXT TV and get people to watch that show.
Which is such an incredibly backwards way of booking. Why wouldn't you go, these guys, let's build them up on the main roster so we've got another really good brand, as opposed to the opposite way. Let's bring them up so we've actually opened up a kayfabe reason to send the real stars down.
Well, exactly. And like, it's evident in that it's Triple H. It's not NXT. NXT's not invading anything. Triple H and his toys are invading the main roster. None of the NXT guys on this show felt like anything special. They were just bodies. Mm. Pete Dunne was out there.
Was he?
Yeah, Pete Dunne was there.
Oh.
That's what I mean. Matt Riddle was there. But like, you wouldn't have known because they were just bodies that were there, because Triple H was the one who was cutting all the promos and he was the one he's the ring general of all this.
Yeah, why isn't this led by... I mean, who would you have lead this invasion?
Well, this is the problem with it. It's because you would say like, oh, Adam Cole. But then why would Ciampa, Lee and Riddle want to side with Adam Cole? Totally. Because they don't like each other. And I don't like this whole it's brand loyalty stuff because it doesn't wash when a month later you're back to feuding again.
It's very lazy storytelling. But yeah, this during all this brawling, it cuts to Triple H in the gorilla position, and he does cut a very well-delivered promo that is essentially, I am opening the doors to NXT to anyone on Raw or SmackDown this Wednesday. Please come and watch the show. Because we lost quite badly to Dynamite last week.
Can you imagine if Dynamite wins again?
Well, okay, so this is the larger story, and I know people don't like us bringing up the biggest wrestling news story that's happened in the last couple of years, which is there is a competitor to WWE right now, and it has won 7 weeks in a row in the ratings. Regardless of quality, that's what's happened. And it just so happens... Which it does make sense because it's a Survivor Series thing. It makes sense to have everyone on all the shows. NXT is going to have Raw and SmackDown stars, and it's going to be a surprise. And I'm excited for it. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for Wednesday's episode because I feel like it could have a Raw after Mania vibe. That's going to be somewhat hindered by the place that it's in because it's only can only hold so many people.
But those people are going to be rabid.
But maybe that will be a kitsch bit of enjoyment because we're going to see, I don't know, Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins in Full Sail. Which is a very exciting visual in my mind.
And it's weird because we've seen Roman and Seth in Full Sail when they were in NXT, but now it's Roman and Seth going back to Full Sail.
But make no mistake about it, if Dynamite beats NXT again this week, even if it's just by 10,000... This is a huge, huge defeat for WWE.
I said last week that NXT had to win. Not in a sense of it had to win. I just thought, with all the Survivor Series stuff, I don't think Dynamite can compete with that. And then I was actually so surprised to see that NXT dropped as much as it did and Dynamite grow. But this week, you've got to think that NXT is winning that ratings war. It has to, right?
I really can't call it. I'm very excited to see.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
But let's get to our wonderful pledge hammers on Patreon. $25 a month or more to get your name shouted out at the end of the show with your own wrestling nickname. Thank you. He who is named Lendell Branson.
Nice. Whoa. Hello. Harder than his bite, Sean Barksdale.
Asuka's future husband and EOF one-man wrecking crew skin trade.
Yeah. Yep, yep. Oh, I don't know able to get this one. You'll never get this name right, you idiots. Matthew Strzewski. Oh, I'm so bad at it.
Brett the Hitman, Matthew Williams.
Killer Chris Phillips.
Yeah.
Nice.
Infinite Crisis, Chris Junker.
Hammerman.
How you make these hammers?
... Dive, Dylan Cachetta.
I like that one. It's one of my favorites. They drew first blood, not me. Grace Rambo.
Nice.
Yes, thank you.
You sold out, Jay Sellers.
You sold out. You sold out. Jonathan the Headmaster Headman.
Nice. Yes. And lastly, Nate dropped surname.
Thank you very much. Your super chats before we get into the rest of the show. A huge opening segment there, half an hour, because, well, we pretty much described the bulk of the episode.
Yeah.
So on the NXT invasion, Dustin Pylon has said, and then for some reason it cut to Triple H on the Titantron instead of showing us the fight happening inside the ring. WWE is frustrating sometimes.
It certainly can be.
I mean, but to be fair, that was the best thing about the end segment. I thought the brawl was pretty, you know, just lacking substance.
Well, at least it was shot with, you know, one camera that was static. Yeah. Because at this point, Kevin Dunn shoots action the same way that he masturbates to porn. Lots
Jose,
of crash zooms.
Rigorously.
Exactly.
Is there any other way? That's a Bill Burr joke. Jose Quinde, NXT invades, but didn't bring writers and storylines.
I suppose, well, Ryan Ward's on Raw, is he now?
Oh, no, he's been bumped off of SmackDown, hasn't he?
That's what I mean. I thought he'd been bumped to Raw.
No, I think he's on leave.
Oh.
I don't know if that's Haven't heard anything since September there. Kevin! So Triple H tried to recruit Kevin Owens. Undisputed Era jumps him. Triple H looked mad at Cole, so Cole was there. And then, nothing. Ha 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 ha. WWE loves to not follow up on stories. Becky punched a guard. Nothing. Lucha House Party interruption. Nothing. That's a good point. And the punch from Becky was so cool.
It was cool.
I didn't actually think that that's a criminal act. And WWE, in their own storylines, use that all the time for suspensions. Becky this year was suspended, fired, over and over again because of such things.
Yeah.
Kevin again. Also, what the hell was SmackDown thinking, sending Lucha House Party, Heavy Machinery, and Rudolph? You guys are supposed to be the A show.
You don't want to send your stars to put over Raw.
Well, they'll be on the house show.
Well, yeah, quite likely,
to,
yeah.
To get people in seats. Michael Dominguez, Team NXT are former NXT champs. Kevin Owens, Drew, Rude, Joe.
Yeah, and Seth.
Joe?
Well, Joe, I think he might have meant Seth, but it's... Yeah. Ricochet's the only one on the team who wasn't, but he was a North American champion.
It's. I mean, that is a thing, though. Like, when I saw the Viking Raiders in there at the end, I was like, guys, you only got... You know, you've only just debuted.
Yeah.
Why...
You were NXT champions so not that long ago.
About Raw. Ryan B. Bask in his glory, King Chopper Whopper. Adam Cole was there. He was in Triple H's face about asking why he wanted Owens, and Triple H was mad that Undisputed Era came in. Okay, so I must have missed that,
yeah.
Not picked up on that subtlety. Or Andre Banks. Adam Cole was arguing with Triple H about recruiting Owens while the other members of Undisputed Era attacked Owens. Thank you for pointing that out. Wilson Simons. If NXT wins, should get one match on every pay-per-view from now on. Main roster guys get matches taken away from them. It gives everyone a reason to fight for their brand.
Hmm.
It's not the worst idea.
At least it's something.
Well, yeah, but that all this lacks actual stakes really does matter.
Yeah.
And if, like we said, we always say, the number 30 pick at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
That's what this should be about. That the brand gets to hold a tournament to decide who that is. We'll finish these off, actually. Robert Olsen. Triple H looked a bit mad when Undisputed Era attacked Kevin Owens. Cole got in Triple H's face asking why he wanted Owens. To be fair, they didn't really stress it.
Well, that's what I was going to say was, if that was the case, which obviously, I'm holding my hands up, I missed. I don't think they made a big deal of it. It's not like the commentators were putting that over in future matches. Triple H didn't mention it at the end of the night his promo. And the Undisputed Era was brawling around ringside at the end of the show anyway.
And for an NXT Raw and SmackDown invasion storyline, that's enough. You don't want to be creating fractured, confusing, contrived bits within NXT when they're the new guys.
Do you know what? If you want to get that storyline over, give Cole a microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Have Cole cut a promo saying, why are you doing this? If that's your intended storyline, make a deal out of it.
And then NXT can turn on Triple H, and then they can be by themselves.
That'd have been great. Yeah. Then Triple H could have been on one of Team Raw or SmackDown.
To beat Adam Cole, pin him. Jose Quinde, NXT are waiting for War Games before making the teams.
Well, that means you're going to announce it on the Sunday?
It's not good. It's not the best. It's whatever the... Just the good version of this. This is far from it. Tristan Thorne, all I wanted was The Fiend versus Brock Lesnar versus Adam Cole, and they couldn't even deliver that.
There is no version of that match though where anyone's happy with the finish.
I agree. I would love to see that, but do I actually need to see it? And I think it's probably for the best that that's not being staged. Nate Drop Surname, they aren't sending Seth and Roman. Lucha House Party in NXT, LOL. Kalisto, that'll be Wednesday.
Kalisto with his big NXT return. Former NXT Tag Team Champion Kalisto.
Can you imagine the remote controls all clicking over to Dynamite?
Well, actually, when that's I brought this up yesterday when we did our Q-munity Q&A portion of the show.
It's a good
this.
Pun, by the way.
Thank you very much. The Meltzer had a write-up about the NXT and AEW ratings that when AEW goes to break, there is an increase in NXT viewership. And when AEW ends, NXT gets like 100 to 200,000 people tuning over towards the last 15 minutes. When NXT goes to ad break, no one's switching to Dynamite. Mm. It is a WWE audience that will not watch anything else.
Which makes sense. AEW's a new product. I think everyone who watches AEW probably does watch WWE in parts.
Yeah, completely.
But not everyone who watches WWE watches AEW. Right, so let's get on to... Actually, before we get on the play-by-play, let's do our new feature. What do you guys think? So on the community tab this morning, I posted vote out of five for what you thought. 53% of you thought this episode was average. That's out of 11,500 votes, so very comprehensive. And then next up was Core at 17%. So kind of skews upwards, so about a 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah,
maybe.
And I think that maybe that's just because you've got the cool sight of everyone brawling around ringside.
Yeah. So this was in Boston. Becky Lynch opened the show quite fittingly because it was last year. I can't believe that's a year ago. Becky Lynch getting blooded by that Nia Jax punch.
The man was born.
That was the moment that really turned her into a megastar that lasted, you know, 4 months.
That lasted at least 4 weeks.
And then, she's sort of... Where's Dio Madden?
So he's selling his injuries.
Still?
Yeah.
Oh, good on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realise. I miss him on commentary.
He was really good. Although I thought Joe was very good on this as a replacement.
Yeah, so Becky said that she doesn't give a bollocks about your brand supremacy.
Good!
I know. Which is great promo, Becky.
Yeah.
She wants to fight right now. And where better for an Irish person to fight than in Boston?
Yeah.
She can say that because she's Irish. We can't say that.
No.
No.
Instead, the Iconics came out. Billy Kay said it was they've somehow been left off the Raw Survivor Series team, which Peyton called a terrible oversight. I didn't know they were on Raw. And B, even at this point, they still weren't telling us who was on the Raw women's team. Yeah.
So they all know? Was there a memo? There's a WhatsApp group, surely.
Yeah, they must have. They probably announced it on Twitter or something.
But then out came Charlotte, who cut a very heelish promo.
Yeah,
she's so confused.
She doesn't want to tag with Becky either, even though apparently it's going to be Becky and Charlotte versus the Kabuki Warriors at TLC for the titles. But Flair said, I don't want to team with Becky. But somehow we keep being put together.
By, and this is a quote, forces. So we can't say authority figures.
Because we're the authority figures.
We can't say powers that be, but we can imply that there's some strong force or some gravity.
Universal forces.
Thermonuclear forces.
Are bringing them together.
Electromagnetic. They can't separate. So, so it's a plot hole. And then Samoa Joe came out.
I know.
He came out in a suit with his little, because he's suffering from an injury at the moment. He's got a broken hand, I think.
Something
wrist.
Like that, yeah.
And he came out, and I thought, are they making him the GM of the women's division?
No, not that as well. But no, he came out for commentary.
But wouldn't that be like, if that was old TNA, he would totally have been the GM?
If they could not get hold of Brooke Hogan that week, it would have been Samoa Joe.
Anyway, Charlotte made Billy Kay tap in about a minute.
Yeah, this was all Flair as well. Like, she essentially won that match on her own.
Yeah. But this was all really just a thing to have Shayna Baszler with Jessamine Duke and Marina Shafir come in, beat up the Iconics. Lynch and Flair are like, hey, up. And they get back in the ring and they all brawl. And the MMA horsewomen get the better of them. And then exit through the crowd. Flair and Lynch chase them. Security stops them. And Lynch commits assault.
I think we're getting Ronda Rousey return at Survivor Series.
Oh, I felt, yeah.
I think Shayna Baszler is winning that match via Ronda Rousey interference to set up horsewomen at Mania.
Yeah, and in that time period,
we can have firings, suspensions. People could be replaced in the match.
Watch every single women's belt slowly make their way to Sasha Banks, Bayley, Charlotte, and Lynch. Because if they win the tag titles at TLC, then that's three out of the four. Sasha just needs to win the... Oh, and Becky's got the Raw.
Yeah,
so there you go.
They only need the tag belts to complete the collection.
I very much thought that too. And it's a great idea.
Mm. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And as well, what's also great about it is because that it's not been teased on television, it will be a really big surprise if she does make a return. Because it's Ronda Rousey, aside from every now and again when they were like, oh, Becky beat her at WrestleMania, never mentioned. She's never really brought up. So I think if she does return to Survivor Series, it will catch people off guard.
Definitely. I had this running gag in my review today. Caruso alert. She was all over this show. Well, I'm not complaining. I love Caruso.
Well, she had a big announcement to make.
Yeah. You don't want to miss it.
Okay. We'll come to that when she mentioned that bit because, yeah.
But here it was Ryder and Hawkins. They're excited about the tag title shots like Jabrones, and then AOP beat them up. Then we got Umberto. Let's just breeze through this. Umberto Carrillo took on Carl Anderson. It's the match we said should have happened before we got a shot at AJ.
I've written here, this feud is booked backwards.
Yeah.
Like, because they cut a very good promo at the start, the OC did, about how the Umberto is disrespecting them and AJ's not going to defend his title against him because he keeps disrespecting this team. And AJ says that Anderson's going to face him. He said it was a very, very funny promo. And Umberto then beats Carrillo via help from the Street Profits.
Yeah, Anderson rolled him up, but the Street Profits turned the package aside to give Carrillo the win. So it's not a strong win. I think Carrillo's lost all momentum.
Completely.
And no one's into him.
But, you know, it's like Cedric Alexander said in that interview. You can't be buried when you're in a feud with AJ Styles because you're in the ring with AJ Styles. It just gets you over automatically.
Oh, no. You were buried. So it's a man in shell shock denial there.
Yeah. Cedric Alexander was on this show as well. He was part of all that Brawl stuff, but we don't know.
Caruso alert.
Here she is.
Talking to Seth Rollins. It's where they set up the Andrade match.
This is when, because Charlie said, we're going to get a big announcement coming, so please stick around. And then they recapped the Lana Lashley segment. I was like, oh, okay, that's where they're telling people to stick around. Don't switch the channel, folks. I've got a big announcement coming up. Well, please stay watching.
You say that, though, but the live crowd, this was the most into anything that wasn't actual wrestling on the whole show.
It is. They were so into the chance of Rusev Day. Rusev Day is a remarkably long-lasting gimmick that WWE do not want to be a thing. Like, you'd have thought at this point, you'd have brought it back.
Yeah.
If everyone's still chanting it, you'd have brought it back and just have Rusev embrace Rusev Day again and do a whole loot line of merchandise where you can sell it again.
Well, I believe he's leaving the company, but it will get a mega pop. Bobby Lashley, Lana, they're laughing. Ha, ha, ha. Who are you going to have defeat us? Maybe Bobby Lashley gets a second. Rusev's out there. And then Aiden English walks in. Yeah. That could be nuclear.
That could really turn this around.
And you just like reset. And it was just all a tortured way because English has the perfect reason for that. He tried to break up Lana from Rusev because he thought she was holding her back or something.
That's,
I can't remember.
Yeah, that's actually good. He didn't want her to be part of Rusev Day.
Yeah.
You're right. It does all tie together.
So he faked the coming on and he tried to come on to her and stuff. But now he could say, no, this was always me. I was trying to protect you.
Yeah.
Bros.
It could work.
But anyway, this is still rubbish. Lana said she filed for divorce, and to make it a real, really believable, the sort of restraining order they showed on the screen had their real names. What's the point?
But actually, the file for the restraining order was for 90 miles. So Rusev can't be within 90 miles of Lana. And then Bobby Lashley just gets into her ear and whispers something. And then she goes, 90 minutes. And then says, sorry, 90 feet.
I'm saying minutes. Yeah, I thought days.
So flustered. Oh, she might have said 90 days. Sorry. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just so flustered. The excitement of finance. I thought she covered herself very well.
Yeah, but it was still a very parsec-based thing. When you try and say a measurement, a unit of distance, and you say a unit of time. I think what happened here, and Dave Meltzer has actually said this, there was meant to be a flub. She was meant to say 90 miles, and then Bobby goes, oh, no, it's 90 feet. And she's like, oh, it's 90 feet. I think that's because she would think Rusev would be nowhere near them, but then he can turn up 90 feet away, perhaps in the car park, he destroys their car, right? So like a little stupid angle like that. But because she said 90 days after that, it was just that was actually...
Oh, okay.
She was meant to make a mistake in the script, but then she made a real mistake. Anyway, Bobby Lashley beat No Way Jose with the Master Lock.
I've written the exact same thing. I said he wins with the Master Lock.
Bobby Lashley was the first person to break the Master Lock.
Wow, and he learned... you know, that skill so he could apply it better. It's a big man move that Vince likes. So it just makes sense to give it to the big man.
Yeah. And he snogged Lana in celebration. Then we got the
Andy Schmuckter.
And he.
Oh, right. Sorry. I missed Tatsun was on this show.
Dreams. Randy by name. Then we got Seth versus Andrade. Then we got Buddy Murphy walking backstage, goes up to Aleister Black's door, knocks on it, and I'm like, yes!
Yes, please.
And he goes, what is it? I challenge you to a fight.
Yeah, but he tries to open the door and it's locked. Mm. And it made me think, why is Aleister locked the door? If he's been asking people for, you know, all this year to come into his room for a fight, why'd you lock it?
Or have a saloon door. Yeah, and then, like, Buddy walks off, and then Black opens the door, like, who was that? Who's knocking on my door?
And I thought they would do something that, like, ships passing in the night. Like, these two want to fight each other, but they're just never in the right place, and the forces are not booking them in matches together. But no, after this, they just found each other in the hallway again.
So Buddy had a very fun match with Akira Tozawa that unfortunately didn't really get over with the crowd.
It was a real shame because these two were trying their darndest to get the crowd into this. And like on any other day, I think a crowd really would have got into this. Like Murphy caught Tozawa while doing a dive and hit a suplex on the floor. Another great bit of King commentary there when Vic Joseph said, have you ever seen anyone do anything like that? And King was like, what, do a suplex on the floor? Yeah, I've seen it loads.
But yeah, it was a great match. Murphy went over like quite strong at the end. Good, clean victory.
They gave Tozawa a lot.
And then he goes backstage. Yeah, it was a perfect match in that both guys looked great coming out of it, I thought. Tozawa was the perfectly balanced offense, defense to make Tozawa look good in defeat. Anyway, Buddy goes backstage afterwards, knocks on Black's door, but Black opens the door before he can do it. Mm. Now, that's what the first bit shouldn't have happened. Buddy Murphy should have had the match, and at the end of the match, you know, really good match, got the microphone, I challenge you, Aleister Black, and he then walks backstage. And he's like, woof, 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 camera follows him. And you find a door that opens inwards. Because first of all, he knocks on the door and he has to awkwardly stand back and then the door opens and then Aleister Black steps out for the stare down. You do it this way, there's been nothing beforehand, Murphy goes back there, is about to knock on the door, but it opens and Black's just staring there.
In his gear.
In his gear. Trapped in the closet. that's so simple.
Yeah.
But they had to have it run around a match, and it really wasn't as effective as it could have been.
But didn't you know this? Because you also had Rowan cutting a promo to his pet. The pet has gotten bigger this week.
Yes, Rowan then took on a local enhancement talent. The Singh brothers and R-Truth ran down and chased each other around the ring for a 24/7 title. A title that only three people care about now, by the looks of things. Truth is scared of Rowan, it seems, so he didn't pin one of the Singh brothers for the championship. That happened after the show.
Oh, did it?
Truth is now the 24/7 champion again.
Sweet.
But he seems to be scared of Rowan, and Rowan crossbodied them all. It looked really good. And then he pinned him, and he walked off with his pet carrier.
I'm still putting my money down that it's a cat. If it's not a cat, it is a very cute pet.
This is an incredible waste of all the really good work they did for Rowan. And it's such a shame. Mm-hmm. It's such a shame. And you know where I think this is going? Here's my bet. Here's an early 2020 bet. R-Truth and Rowan in a comedy tag team.
Oh, no. No, surely not.
Think about it, man.
I mean, I don't want to think about it, man.
It's happening.
Oh, no. I'm sticking with my prediction that it is a really cute pet because they keep putting over the idea that it's a scary animal. So it's not going to be scary. It's going to be something that's really cute. And that's the joke. That's the comedy. Not him being in a tag team with R-Truth. Although it is strange that they have had back-to-back segments together.
The only way this can be good is if it links into the Firefly Funhouse.
Oh, do you know what? Someone said this in the community yesterday, but I really hope it doesn't. Like, because Wyatt's doing fine on his own. Like, he doesn't need Rowan and Harper and anyone else interfering in it. Like, he's okay. Firefly Funhouse is fine and dandy as a solo act. I don't think he needs more Wyatt family stuff.
Then we got the autumn promo, Owens versus McIntyre, which was truly magnificent.
Yep.
Caruso alert! She's backstage again. She announces Carrillo will face Styles next week for the United States title. Who cares? And then here's Paul Heyman. And Paul Heyman cuts a very interesting promo recapping Brock's story from the last 6 weeks, insinuates that he's injured, which a nice storyline wrinkle, gives Ray a little bit of a possibility of beating him. And then he says it will be a no-holds-barred match.
Yeah, he said it's either going to be a miracle or a massacre. Miracle being if Ray can beat him, but more likely it's going to be a massacre that Brock Lesnar beats him.
I thought low-key this was a very, very good promo.
Loved this. And follow that up with the Ray stuff afterwards. So good. So great.
So why I think the Heyman stuff was particularly fantastic is because whenever Paul says, spoiler, Brock wins. Spoiler, Brock does this. The Beast, yada, yada, yada. It happens. But like, and that's, it's a really, it's the protected line in a promo now because it always comes true. It hasn't yet not happened when Paul Heyman says there's a spoiler part in the promo.
Well, we think he might have done the prediction it's a spoiler stuff leading into Mania.
I don't think he did.
Well, yeah, we had this discussion on a previous episode. We couldn't remember, and I think some people said in the chat that it did happen.
Okay.
So I don't fully remember.
Well, it's still real to me, damn it. And here he never says, spoiler, Brock's going to win. He says, spoiler, it's either going to be a miracle or a massacre.
Yeah. I like that it's just, spoiler, two things might happen in this match.
Someone might win and someone might lose.
It could be applied to any match on the card.
But, you know, that's a testament to the man's greatness. I didn't feel like that.
I know, completely. And that's why I said I really, really liked this promo, particularly because of that reason. And I really like pushing it the narrative that it's either a miracle or a massacre. Like, that's really nice alliteration to like as a tagline for the match.
I almost want it to be saved for Christmas season.
Yeah.
Then we got Rey Mysterio step in with Charlie Caruso to Humberto Carrillo, who's just still standing there, by the way.
Hey, put over Carrillo.
But that was really nice. Rey, who would have thought, is doing the best promo work of his career. He cut, like he's like, he puts over Carrillo, Carrillo walks off, and then he just cuts a great promo on Brock holding that steel pipe. I love Mysterio.
I thought Mysterio actually did more for Carrillo than anything in this AJ Styles feud.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Made Carrillo seem like a really big deal, the way that he said, like, you're doing so much for our community. And, like, they hadn't even spoken Spanish and everything. I thought it was a really, really nice moment between the two. And then, yeah, just cut this fantastic promo saying, like, the old Rey Mysterio would have wanted an apology. But this Rey Mysterio is not looking for an apology. He's going to win the WWE Championship. I'm going to do it for my son.
What's the... So Lesnar has faced, since 2016, Goldberg, AJ, Bryan.
Yep. Seth, about 20,000 times.
Roman. Oh, but just Survivor Series.
Oh, Survivor Series,
I'm thinking,
yeah,
like, Brock always has the best match at Survivor Series.
Yeah, it's true.
So I think, you know, The Fiend versus Bryan.
You're going to get so much heat for that Brock Goldberg one, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I think we can all look back at that now as an absolutely inspiring...
No, you cannot!
But the Fiend Bryan stuff is obviously very enticing, but the pessimist in me thinks it might disappoint just because it's a very tricky balance to pull off.
Also, the lights are still there.
I'm confident. Yeah, the red light. I'm confident in Brock and Ray having an excellent match.
Yeah,
I think that's my pick for match of the night.
Especially with the no holds barred stipulation. I still think low key match of the night is going to be the triple threat, the Shinsuke Nakamura Styles and Roderick Strong one.
Then we got a video package promoting CM Punk on WWE backstage. We got a few of these, actually.
Yeah, did a couple of times throughout the night to say that. And they very, very brilliantly said, CM Punk has returned to WWE, pause, backstage on Fox.
Yeah.
Lovely, because you can say, CM Punk has returned to WWE, slight little pause, backstage, which is the name of the show.
Asuka then took on Natalya.
I was convinced this wasn't going to happen because they'd announced it ahead of time. And when I looked at how much was left of this show, I was like, I don't think they're going to do that Asuka Natalya thing and just pretend they never announced it.
Well, they hardly did. Kairi distracted Natalya and Asuka kicked her for the win.
Yeah, this is where I learned that they're teammates this Sunday.
Right, right. So that is, and then we got the Viking Raiders versus Ricochet and Randy Orton match, which ended in the giant brawl. Overall, I gave it a 3 out of 5, just because, honestly, the in-ring wrestling I thought was superb.
So good.
But everything else was actually very lacking.
I was frustrated by the lack of finishes in some cases. I was really frustrated with the NXT thing. But then again, like when people have said to us throughout the year, would you like to see NXT be part of Survivor Series? I did say, and I'm trying not to be like on a high horse, but I told you so because I'm really not in that mold. But I did say at the time, I don't think anyone's going to enjoy it because there's no way that you can book NXT to be strong enough that people will get behind it and for them to win a lot, which is what I think what people really want. I think it started off so well on that SmackDown episode. And
perfect.
Perfect is a great way to describe it. It started off perfectly. And you really made Adam Cole a star that night. And since then, it's just gone further and further and further downhill, the less they care. And I still think it would be fun matches at Survivor Series, but this was not a good go-home episode for an Invasion storyline. WWE, just, they're not good at Invasion storylines.
No. Good at the start, not the follow-through. So let's rattle through your super chats because there's a ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Van Sky, what would this M of Survivor Series title matches being winner take all? What would this emerging the tag titles, mid card, and women's belts could really help each division? I feel so. All the Survivor Series title matches would merge the titles, and that won't work because the brand split, I guess.
Yeah,
which I think won't be in effect for much longer anyway. David Weekly, Triple H to turn on NXT confirmed. Future NXT champion.
That's what you want over Mania weekend. It's Adam Cole versus Triple H.
I almost want that to happen so Triple H can have a picture with himself holding the NXT title. Tristan Thorne again. On my comment earlier, I mostly just wanted to see the mandible claw put on Lesnar. A win over him would have been amazing. Dreams, baby. LOL.
Still time.
Yeah,
can happen.
The Fiend versus Lesnar is a big time top five pay-per-view match that will happen. And Sterling Van, NXT should win for a ratings boost from WWE's POV. Yes.
Maybe. On the subject of Raw overall, Canamille Probabil said, Ray with a Louis Vuitton mask was the best part.
It was an interesting pattern.
It was lovely. Gabriel Michael says, to be honest, I thought Andrade versus Seth was quite good.
Yeah, it was. But again, it's another example of Seth not having a finish to a match.
Yeah.
A guy can't finish.
Metal Bear, Owens versus Drew had me on the edge of my seat and was said to be a Raw classic. My heart sank when Triple H's music hit. NXT Owens would be great again, though.
Oh, yeah, it would be. If that had a finish, it would be in the conversation for best WWE TV matches of the year.
Or
if included on NXT.
Yeah, and if you'd have done the Kevin Owens thing from the start and you built it over these few weeks with Kevin Owens sticking with Raw and, you know, deciding not to team with Triple H, and you could have had all of this Adam Cole tension with Triple H, and you'd have built that over 4 weeks, that would have been a really good moment, actually.
Yeah.
But instead, you did essentially 4 weeks' worth of storylines in one segment. Dincy Noblet says, not saying it means anything, absolutely nothing, but Sarah Logan is now blonde and suddenly getting on pay-per-view.
Is she blonde now?
I have no idea, because the photo they've got of her is from like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The photo on the website for Seth Rollins still has him with the Universal Championship. Spoiler. Oblivious Carey says, what Joe mean people like Bobby Lashley? Sigh.
Probably, he was probably making a joke about people who cheat, like sleep with other men's wives.
Yeah, or big lads.
Yeah.
Ed LUFC 98. As far as I know, KO versus McIntyre is still going on.
Surely Drew took the count out loss.
Yeah. Austin McCormick, Samoa Joe equals best commentator in WWE. Now, Mauro Ranallo is still there.
Oh, yeah, and then Nigel McGuinness.
And Nigel's there, absolutely. Wilson Simons, shame the crowd was so quiet for Akira versus Buddy.
Hell of a match. Really innovative stuff. I loved when Buddy went for the cheeky Nandos and Akira Tozawa just kicked him from that position.
Jobber JJ, Ollie Davis' number one fan. Black locked the door because he was taking a toilet break.
So he's got an ensuite in there.
Man, they're nice. Really pushing the boat out for Alistair Black in his own personal space. Was Lana referencing the 90-day non-compete clause? That's from Wayne.
I mean, maybe it's on her mind and it slipped in. It was definitely meant to be miles and feet, apparently. So WWE related, Sparks writes, won't be here for Saturday, so figured I'll ask now. How many yes kicks do you see Daniel Bryan landing on The Fiend? So I guess he means Sunday. I'd say at least 200.
Wow.
Joy emoji.
That's a lot.
I think running knees are going to be the multiple finishes that the Fiend stands up from.
Yeah, no, I'd certainly say so. Bearing in mind, when we did our full gear predictions, our bonus question was, how many super kicks will the Young Bucks throw? I went with 12, which I thought was a conservative amount. And apparently, it was 6.
Ah.
Which really means I think the Bucks were holding themselves back.
It's like they know how to work. Jobber JJ 496, I don't care for war games when teaming at Survivor Series for brand supremacy. I don't care about baby faces and heels working together. So many vacant spots. Yeah, I think it's...
I'm not into you doing a... this sort of like separate universe thing where NXT are feuding with each other so much they have had to have two separate War Games matches and then 24 hours later are all fighting for the same team. It doesn't work for me personally, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't mesh.
Michael Dominguez, you think Street Profits are the new Crime Time? I think the only similarities there are,
their race.
Yeah. New Punk rants, after the Lana BS, 2000 WCW stories are better than 2019 WWE.
No, they're not. WCW 2000 is still way worse.
2001, good. 2000, ooh,
way worse.
The invasion sucks, no good stories, nothing redeeming. WWE should just hire Arquette.
Did you see, because Arquette's on backstage tomorrow.
Tonight,
you're right, taking promo classes. See RJ City tweeting about that, because RJ City was the guy who's been teaming with that Arquette on the indies and like really helping him back in the ring. And he said, promo class, he's like, well, thanks for nothing, Dave.
Yeah. Matthew Scheel, AEW is better than WWE in ring story and logic. Definitely story and logic for my money. Definitely.
Some of the in-ring stuff this week, though, was really, really
But good. Yeah, the Raw, you just see when you give them time and let them go, like the caliber of the wrestlers in WWE. Just as good. It's, yeah. They've got the best roster on the planet of all time.
Mm-hmm. And like I think that AEW has done some amazing stuff with the talent that they have got, but I don't think they have made a star quite like SmackDown did with Adam Cole in his match with Daniel Bryan. Like in one match, they made him feel like such a huge deal.
Hartley Reaper, with Fox being owned by Disney, does that make Stephanie McMahon a Disney princess?
Fox don't own.
Not that part of Fox.
No, it's a
Disney
different,
bought the Fox intellectual property of like Simpsons and Star Wars. It,
they
and
bought
movies.
The movies division then yeah. the TV division, but not the news division.
Gazzatola of Rock and Roller. After 25 plus years of watching WWE, I have decided I won't be switching to BT in January. So this is in the UK, where it's going to move from the long time network, essentially, of Sky over to BT. Feels like an effort to watch Raw and SmackDown these days. If it weren't for NXT, I would be ditching the network.
Wow.
Strong things. 25 years.
I need to speak to my friend John, actually, because he's the only reason he's on Sky or got Sky Sports is so he can watch WWE. I'll be very interested to know if he's switching over to BT.
Zornis, AEW had 7 weeks to build interest in their young cast. NXT the same. To win for once, they have to bring the old guys. I love NXT, but I hope they lose on Wednesday. Ooh. Fergal McClements, Finn went down to NXT, pissed off to do this would be better. Finn went down to NXT, pissed off to do this would be better. I don't really know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But he's got another comment here.
Yeah. Fergal McClements again. NXT losing to AEW will make Vince take the wrong message and this will bury NXT for good. Be better if AEW was beating Raw or SmackDown. Yeah, I guess there is that danger. If AEW beats NXT on Wednesday, maybe Vince goes, I've got to step in here. Cucking storyline. start recording. Is it possible that Edge can be a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, we had that question in the community yesterday, but certainly.
Pavi, let Andy out of his cage. I know you guys are trying to judge WWE and AEW on the same scale, but honestly, can you even do that? NXT is the only one that can be on the AEW stage.
Well, enough with the AEW bias.
I totally agree. I think we've said it before. We judge AEW and New Japan and NXT with a different mindset to Raw and SmackDown and WWE pay-per-views. One's sports entertainment and the other one is more...
It's wrestling.
Wrestling. Start recording with a very generous super chat.
Thank you very much.
Three feuds I think Brock Lesnar needs are versus Ricochet or Drew McIntyre. Not so into that just because they're quite big. And Aleister Black.
Aleister Black versus Brock Lesnar would be amazing.
I think it's a crime that we haven't got a Lesnar versus McIntyre match yet. And with Black, obviously, they should just build him up massively.
Well, I mean, Aleister Black, you just put him in storylines.
Yeah.
Be a good start.
But the McIntyre stuff, yeah, I think it would be good, but I don't think it would have that same fire. Lesnar works so well with guys who are smaller than him. And I think Black and Ricochet fit into that category. Knowing Vince will probably book it a handicap match, though. Not believable. Start recording again. Which WWE pay-per-views are usually consistently good or at least decent, apart from Royal Rumble, seeming as they are the obvious choice? Oh, that's tough. Good.
I was going to say WrestleMania, but there have been some dud WrestleManias over the years. So you can't say that it's been consistently good. Actually, the only thing, I think there might have been some dud Rumbles along the way.
I like Money in the Bank.
Yeah, Money in the Bank's a good shout. So, interestingly, on that subject, someone asked me yesterday in the community, what's your match of the decade? And my answer was Punk Cena, Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I'd probably go with
I'd go with Money in the Bank.
Off the top of my head, I agree. Pavi let Andy out of his cage again. After watching the OC match in NXT, I thought Khan and Luke's movements were like robots, while NXT wrestlers are more fluent. WWE ruins wrestlers.
I think that's unfair.
I think on the main roster, they are told to slow down a bit.
Oh, yeah. But I think to say that Carl Anderson moves around like a robot is unfair.
Chris Connor, now all I want is an English-Rusev reunion. Cheers. Yeah. It's got to happen.
On the subject of WrestleTalk, miscellaneous, as it's been spelt here on our document, Mitchell Heffley. Last Saturday was my birthday. Can I get a late happy birthday from you guys?
Happy bar mitzvah.
Happy Christmas. Finn Brennan, got an Xmas job. First day off in ages. Have money.
Oh, cheers, buddy.
Working over the Christmas period. When I was saying over the weekend that I'm feeling really festive, someone said, you should work in retail when it comes to Christmas. Like, oh, I did. I used to work in a toy shop over the Christmas period. It was the busiest, most chaotic days, but I loved every second of it. So great. Christmas is the best. Jesse Venables, schedule. Love, Luke, angering lads.
Schedule.
Swat Daddy Johnny D. Ollie, you're wrong about the Boston Crabs. Boston is known for the crab people. I'm from Massachusetts, so I should know. Loved and miss you guys.
I didn't put it together in my head that I said Boston Crab. That's where
I thought that's why you did it.
No.
Really good wrestling joke.
No. I didn't realize I did that.
You were thinking of crab people. King Rasta, I'll place one card face down and end my turn.
Cool.
Dan Sky with a very generous donation said, I was there last night, front row TV side. And I was curious if you were able to pick up on Orton's amazing one-liners to Ricochet during their match. He was hilarious. Wasn't sure if it was on an ad break or not. It's from Dan Van Sky.
No, but he was talking to him on last week's main event. I remember that. And that was some good interaction.
Yeah. But if you were there, Dan Van Sky, someone a few rows behind you had an amazing cultaholic sign. Where was your support Wrestle Talk
mate?
And lastly, Kevin, on the subject of Wrestle Talk, says, Ollie just opened my eyes. Rowan and Truth in a team. It's the spider inside the box. Rowan helps Truth beat his arachnophobia because remember, Truth is afraid of two things, spiders and ladders.
Sure. Got a couple. Dan Sky also said sorry for the crazy typos. And there were no typos.
And we've got some last minute ones. First in from Dan Sky, who says, my title merging idea to me would mean that the champion could show up on any brand and defend at any time and feud with anyone on any brand. Well, that's worked out so well for the women's tag titles. So if that's what we're using as an example, I'm not sure that it's in WWE's wheelhouse. I'll tell you that off mic because I thought it was really funny. Anyway, Valentine's Tube, speaking of announcers, what do you think of Lord Alfred Hayes? Does WWE feel lost in a hedge maze a la Potter? Lovely time with the English boys.
It always jarred with me, Lord Alfred Hayes. I would used to watch it on the sort of WWE vintage recap.
Yeah, the Silver Vision videos that they used to put out. Dan Walensky said, I'd argue that AEW got Darby Allin over.
Yeah, cannot wait for the Moxley match
that's
tomorrow.
In response to my, I don't think AEW's got anyone over to the level that they got Adam Cole over in that one match.
Oh, yeah. That Adam Cole one is another level, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say it's lastly, but it's not. Penultimately, Jobber JJ, AEW has matches such as Nick Jackson versus Phoenix and Moxley versus Darby. NXT has Lucha Jobber Party running off the Undisputed Era. AEW is beating NXT in the ratings.
We'll see. We'll see on Wednesday. Friday when it comes out. It's tough to say.
And Pavi let Andy out of his case. Said, if Lana and Rusev leave WWE, the only other couple that is there is Aleister Black and Zelina Vega. No, not another cheating storyline.
Not an on-air couple.
There's also Charlotte and Andrade. You could turn them into an on-screen couple. Seth and Becky, they've already been an on-screen couple.
We've also got some donations with no messages. Thank you very much, Mr. Throwups and Swaff Daddy Johnny D.
Thank you very much. Thank you all so much.
So Pete and Laurie will be back right after this on our Twitch channel playing WWE 2K20. Oh, you love WWE 2K20.
I think they might be the only two people in the world still playing it.
We were the biggest. Screenstalkers Twitch was the biggest WWE 2K20 streamer last Tuesday by like 80 people because no one else was streaming it.
Everyone's given up on the game.
Yeah.
9 out of 10, Cultaholic, I believe.
Did they really?
No, I'm joking. They just did it last year. They just did it last year because they got sent out to see them and everything. This is a Rusev hey in from Cameron from Milton, Ontario, Canada, who says, good morning slash afternoon, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Chopper, and Dave. Sent a Rusev hey last year.
Save Dave.
Sent a Rusev hey last year talking about former WWE wrestler Tiger Ali Singh. Here in Milton, Ontario, Canada, Singh and his father, the legendary Tiger Jeet Singh, run a giant toy drive every Christmas. As a reporter,
nice.
I get to attend the kickoff on Miracle on Main Street. It's a massive event that raised $100,000 plus in toys for kids in the area.
Wow.
Singh's have plans to make Miracle on Main Street a national event, where we will fly across the country providing toys for children whose parents may not be able to afford these gifts, like a giant Canadian Indian Santa Claus. This is just another reminder that while Tiger Ali Singh wasn't all that great as a wrestler, he's an excellent human being. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and I hope you guys enjoy the winter. And he's attached some photos I remember from this from last year.
Here's
Tiger Ali Singh and the drive.
Oh, look at all those toys. They're decent toys as well. They're
good looking
like,
toys.
Knockoff ones.
No.
Oh, that's so lovely. We're entering the Christmas period. Should we do something for charity?
Oh, I think we should.
My lady partner has made everyone at work not do Secret Santa and instead do some charity drive to get. It's something that a lot of places can sign up to where you effectively give 10 or 15 quid and that buys a present for a kid.
Like that's lovely.
Like a decent present.
Yeah, that's good.
Apparently, quite a few people have come in and said, well, you can have these old toys. And that's not what it's about.
No.
It's new cool toys.
I don't want your Power Rangers Dino Riders. I want the new Power Rangers toys.
But yeah, so she's doing that. And, you know, she's. I think I have to be prompted to be a nice person out of jealousy. But she's an actual nice person who does this thing off her own back.
She is lovely.
So now it has created a competitive environment in the house. Oh, she's... Yeah, I mean, BB1. And then lady partner down here. But yeah, it has... I don't want her to think she's better than me. And that's where all good charity comes from, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Out of guilt and competitiveness.
Hmm.
So I don't know, if anyone's got any ideas...
Yeah, well, we actually... So I was feeling festive AF over the weekend.
Festive.
So festive. Like, it is...
What got you festive?
Well, so we were at my my wife's, well, my in-laws, and her grandparents were there, and we were looking at, like, the Asda Christmas catalogue things, where they say, like, here's some meals that you can make over Christmas.
Mm.
And there's lots of Christmas adverts on TV at the moment.
Oh, they've begun in a hard way.
Haven't they just? And I just feel like everyone is talking about Christmas, and I just got this sudden pang of, like, I'm feeling so Christmassy because I love Christmas.
Mm.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. From December 1st through to December, like, you know, 31st, maybe 25th, 26th, I am Mr. Christmas. Like, I just want it to be Christmas all the time.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I've worked with you for quite a long time. I've done a few of these with you.
So I love me some Christmas. And
you, but by the way, when we moved into our most recent office, which was... It was October, wasn't it? But we looked around there in September.
Yes.
There were some Christmas decorations that the then occupants were going to get rid of.
Oh, yeah.
And you said, do you want those Christmas decorations?
Well, no. They said, I don't suppose you want the Christmas decorations.
As a joke. And you said...
Yes, I do want all those Christmas decorations.
And we've got them. And it's a good move because now we can...
We're going to festive up the office. Come December 1st, I'm festiving up that office.
Mm.
And so I was sat there and I kept saying to my wife, it's like November 16th. I can't get Christmassy just yet. I'm feeling very festive, but I can't be festive because it's not December 1st yet.
You're not like, a closer.
What I want to do, I want to put up my tree. Like, yeah. I want to put up my tree and I want to put up my lights. And I want to, yes, right now. I want to put up my tree, I want to put up my lights, and I want to watch Christmas movies and listen to Christmas songs. But I'm holding it in. I'm no nutting November. So I can get to December 1st.
No hazelnut November.
No chestnut November.
Yeah.
Anyway... So I'm waiting until December 1st, but my wife and I essentially considered, because she's also feeling very festive, we're like, let's watch a Christmas movie.
Oh, you watched one?
We watched a Christmas movie.
Oh,
we watched
mid-November.
We watched Netflix's new Christmas movie, because Netflix have essentially cornered the market on making crap Christmas films.
I don't know, go over and look at Channel 5.
Well, but Netflix are doing it on like a big grand scale with sort of like very good casts. And their new one this year is called Let It Snow. And I only found this out afterwards. It's based on a book that was done by the same guy that did The Fault in Our Stars. John Green, I think his name
is. Yes, he was a YouTuber, or probably still is. Yeah. But very, very engaging.
Indeed, yes. But, and so this was a book that he wrote. It's not as like heartfelt as The Fault in Our Stars. Didn't make me cry as much as The Fault in Our Stars did, because, core blimey.
What does?
I'll never forget that Fox security guard that laughed at me as I walked out that press screening. It is a sad film, actually. The kid's dying of cancer. Anyway, so we watched that film, and it just made me even more festive. I wanted to be festive anyway, because Laurie doesn't like Christmas.
Oh, he's a Grinch.
And it just annoys him even more that I'm well Christmassy.
I just had an idea. No, this was an idea I had about 2 weeks ago, and I thought, that's a fun idea. And I completely forgot about it, but I was gonna bring it to you. And seeing that I see the podcast intro and outro as out of continuity.
Oh, yeah.
Like when Jericho can talk to Kenny Omega about their Wrestle Kingdom match.
Exactly.
Can dissect it the next day on the podcast. It's out of continuity. A December storyline where Laurie is the Grinch and you are the Christmas elf. And I don't know. That's all I've got.
Okay.
But like Laurie's trying to sabotage Christmas and we just play it through in some skits. I don't know.
Well, we did have that other idea for a Christmas video that I pitched. Maybe we'll talk about that off mic. Because I do think it's a really good idea. And I think it'd be a really
Christmas
fun...
party that we were going to film.
Not the Christmas special that we do here, and obviously the Christmas party. There was a different kind of video that I was pitching. I sent it over text message when I woke up, and like in mid-October, because I had this great idea from a Christmas thing. But anyway, Let It Snow, perfectly fine. It is a 3-star movie, add a push.
Mm.
But the central performances are so good that I actually elevated it. And it was, you know, Christmas, I elevated it as well. And I thoroughly enjoyed it, really. It was very, very festive, very fun. Tom Holland's mate from Spider-Man is in it.
Yes.
Not Genki, whatever they call him in this one. Ned, that's what they call him. The girl who played Dora in the live-action Dora the Explorer movie.
No idea.
Which, by the way, is fantastic. It's so much fun.
Good to know.
It's so funny. The guy who voiced Miles Morales in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is one of the leads in the film as well.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
all big names.
Well, young up-and-coming names. That's what I liked about it. Yeah. With the exception of...
NXT.
Yes, it's the NXT of Christmas
NXT
movies.
Flicks.
And, and it's also got, because it's a Netflix movie, so you have to get a star from the past, it's got Joan Cusack in it.
Do you think that cast is going to invade Stranger Things?
Well, no, because they're also like... Four. No, you want to involve... Like, you want to have a show that's full of, like... You want to do it in Frankie and Grace. Or Grace
the
and Frankie, rather.
Kaminsky method.
Or the Kaminsky...
That,
yeah,
Michael
totally.
Douglas.
Something like that, where you've got, like, a lot of older guys. But anyway, we need to wrap this up, because we've gone way over time here, and we need to go live. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. When are we next back? Oh, on Thursday.
We'll probably have Survivor Series predictions.
Yes.
Maybe we'll do that tomorrow.
And we're going to be here on Thursday for the AEW review. We can't really do it. No, we'll have to wait until after NXT, because we still don't know who Team NXT is.
Oh, God, yeah.
So we're going to have to wait until NXT's done.
Wow.
But we'll have predictions for Survivor Series and War Games reviews of AEW and NXT and SmackDown coming this week. What a busy old week it is. Thank you for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Rumble,
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.